in general, the city of KC is welcoming us pretty well. It's been all love across the locker room. I think for the most part, it's just excitement. You know, it's just a vibe, honestly. All the guys are just happy. It's football season again. I mean, who's not happy?
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And the person you were hearing from there is new Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark. Sounds like he's happy to be here in town. Sounds like he's happy to be back on the field. Nick Jacobs, how excited are you that Frank Clark is here and that the Chiefs are back on the field, even if it's not in the capacity you would like to see them in?
Yeah, I'll wait till training camp. That's going to be my answer. That's when I'll get really excited at that point.
All right. See, Frank Clark's not happy with the tempo and the tone that you're setting right now. All right.
Well,
he wants you to be bought in all the way now.
That's why Frank Clark is going to make a potentially $100 million, and I am not right now.
I believe it's $105.5 million. If somewhere. I remember Therese Paylor's tweet correctly.
Okay. I'm so sorry that I was off by a couple million. Please forgive me.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know that you get paid the big bucks and $5.5 million is chump change to you. So it's not worth mentioning. But to those of us peons who just are happy to be able to breathe the same air as you, Nick, $5.5 million, a lot of money.
I literally just said earlier that I don't get paid that. Oh, Todd, you are... Boy,
welcome to the Memorial Day weekend. But I don't take time off when it comes to giving Nick a hard time.
That's very accurate. It's a 24/7 job for you. I'll just be sitting in my house and they'll get a random text message from Todd haunting me.
Got to do what you got to do. First, look, Frank Clark doesn't have to be here this week. He didn't have to be here for OTAs. He doesn't have to be here for OTAs next weekend. I guess it's still possible he won't show up later in the week, but. How impressed and how happy are you to see that Frank Clark is here? Because other guys who signed big money contracts this offseason, whether it's Antonio Brown in Oakland or whether it's Le'Veon Bell in New York, not showing up for these voluntary workouts. Frank Clark, though, is here, is trying to get some work in, is trying to get familiar with the team, get familiar with the defense, and get ready for 2019.
He's doing what a leader does, and that's why they went out and gave up what they did for him and paid him and Tyrann Mathieu and some of those other guys what they did, and that's why they got the defensive coaching staff they did. They're taking this team to a different mentality, a different level, and a different attitude. The team got a taste of what they wanted last year with the AFC Championship. They understand how far away they are from being able to reach that again, and Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu and Emmanuel Ogbon and a handful of the other guys, they're setting a new tempo and a new attitude. And I mean, those people that are here, it's going to matter whenever January rolls around.
One guy who's not here, though, of course, is Chris Jones. Jones not at the voluntary workouts. A lot of that probably has to do with the fact that not willing to risk getting hurt right now while he's waiting for his payday. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that a little bit. Andy Reid, not real thrilled to be answering questions about Chris Jones, it didn't sound like. Let's hear from Andy Reid at OTAs about Chris Jones's absence.
I don't know that. I don't know how they're talking to him. Are you talking about me? I haven't talked to him. Yeah, we don't even. Listen, we just go. You're here. You get better. You're not. You don't.
Do you think Andy is a little bit miffed that he's not here, or is he a guy? He says you're here, you get better. You're not, you don't. Obviously, he's a guy you'd like to get familiar with the system. You'd like to get better. He's a guy you're going to be counting on. But at the same time, Andy Reid's been around long enough. He probably has a sense for the fact that business is business.
I know. I have no doubt Andy Reid understands the perspective of it, and I did find his comments. They're a little interesting. Nothing about it's inaccurate about what he said. I mean, Chris Jones isn't learning the system with everybody else right now. He's not bonding with his teammates. I mean, you would love to see him. You'd love to see him at least on the sidelines and maybe not risking injury if that's a concern of his. But I know he's working out. I know he's still in working to get in shape
with
right
Le'Veon
now.
Bell.
Yes, I've seen him in a couple of videos. But, I mean, I'm not furious about it. I'm not upset about it. We'll see. I mean, I'm curious when mandatory minicamp hits, if he shows up for that. And then if he doesn't, I'll be curious by the time they break from St. Joe if he is or isn't with the team at that point.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it just comes into contract. I mean, I think mandatory minicamp, if you don't show up, you get fined. And so if this is all about money, doesn't make much sense to leave money on the table. But we'll see. That's not until that's still a few weeks away before anything mandatory for the Chiefs comes up. But, you know, you mentioned them trying to install this new defense. And one thing I'd also like to point out about Andy and the business side, he's been the guy who sits in that right. GM seat before. He knows how these negotiations go. He's had to deal with these contracts and agents and all that before when he was in Philadelphia.
Correct.
So none of this is a surprise to him
no. On
the personnel side. Quite frankly, I think he'd rather have Veach dealing with that and he'd just focus on football. So, but as far as the football side. Tyrann Mathieu, obviously another guy we talked about setting the tone, you know, and so this is really the first opportunity where they got the whole or most of the squad together to try to install that defense. So let's hear from Andy Reid and Frank Clark about how that process went.
Yeah, he's kind of fun to be around. I mean, he's business. He shares that with the guys around him. He has those instincts that you can't teach that part. So he's and that's what he's had throughout. He had it in college, and he's had it in the NFL. He works hard every snap, and that's infectious. All that part. That along with Frank, being Frank, you know, and going 100 miles an hour every snap. I mean, it's that kind of stuff is contagious. Yeah.
I think we're molding well, honestly. You know, myself coming in, you know, you got all this talk about, you know, last year's defense and, you know, how much scrutiny they took as a defense. And, you know, the one thing I knew I wanted to do is come in and just be the best reputation of being what, you know, a challenger was, a competitor was, you know, bringing my competitive edge to this team and hopefully, you know, hoping it rubs off, you know, and that's really my thing. You know, you got to be a competitor in this league. You know, every year you got to come in, you know, and be willing to fight for your job, you know, be willing to compete so you can get better every year. And I think over these last 3 days, that's what I've seen. You know, you got a skill set of DBs. You know, back there, you got, you know, a great set of linebackers. You know, Reggie doing a great job down, you know, with our linebackers down there. Then, you know, our D-line. You know, I take a lot of pride in the D-line. I always say we the show. You know, we the best thing on the field. You know, at the end of the day, I'm always speak for my D-line. I'm always put us first. And I feel like without our D-line, you know, it don't go. And I feel like, you know, these last 3 days, the D-line has done nothing but, you know, just show what type of identity we want to develop. And, you know, we just go keep going up from there.
And that was Andy Reid talking about Tyrann Mathieu at the beginning of that, and then Frank Clark talking about how putting together the defense has gone. And shout out to Reggie Ragland in there. That had to be good to hear, right?
What I was more impressed with is how Frank Clark talked. That's very different than some of the other times that I'd heard Barry and Houston and a handful of other guys talk when they were at the podium. He had more conviction in his voice, and he's willing, it seems like at this point, I mean, we got a ways to go, but he's willing to back it up. And he seems, in my opinion, he seems clearly appreciative that they gave him the money and showed him the respect like that. And he's taking that as a badge and honor to be a leader of this team and embrace this immediately the second he steps on that field. So I think the Chiefs are getting what they want out of him and what they envision from him off the field as a potential leader. And I think that's, for the players that are here, I think that's going to be a positive step in the much-needed direction.
Yeah, and the biggest thing I took out of that was when he talked about you know, wanting to come in and wanting to bring a new attitude. You know, of course, Kansas City played in Seattle late last year in December. Everybody knew about Patrick Mahomes taking the league by storm. Everybody knew that that defense was the Achilles heel that might hold them back and ultimately did hold them back when it came to the AFC Championship game. Frank Clark's done his homework. He knows that this defense needed someone to come in and be an alpha. This defense needed someone to come in and establish accountability and set a culture and a tone. And it sounds like, you know, I mean, we heard Brett Veach talk about that being a reason he brought those guys in, but it sounds like those guys have taken that message to heart. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you've got to be heartened by that.
Yeah, it's what this team has needed for a handful of years. And they were honestly a season later than you would have wanted them to be on it. But, I mean, you may not get Frank Clark like you did now, and you may not get Mathieu potentially because of the salary cap constraints last year. I mean, all combined, Clark comes from a different mentality in Seattle and a different style of attacking, And he's bringing in a new attitude and a new slate for this defense to feed off of.
And if you know anything about his background and growing up homeless, he comes in. Mm-hmm. There's a hunger that he has that is just built in.
Right.
And that other you, if you've never experienced it, you and I can't relate to it on that level because we've led very comfortable lives compared to the life that Frank Clark led growing up. One other guy I've got to imagine is thrilled with this. And you know, it's funny you say that these guys maybe came a year too late. I think Patrick Mahomes arrived a year earlier than they expected.
Sure.
And I think that was part of what was going on there. But Patrick Mahomes already established himself as an alpha, reigning MVP of the league. He's got to be happy to look across at the defense and see an alpha himself. Let's hear what Patrick Mahomes had to say about Frank Clark and what he's seen from him early in this offseason.
I mean, first off, he other than being just extremely athletic and a heck of a pass rusher, he's extremely smart. And it's good to see that. We're on the field. He's taking away some of my hot throws. He's taking away some of my adjustments because he's just playing football. And those guys are the ones that are really special. I mean, I think today I was about to throw a hot to Sherman, and he just peeled off on it and made me throw the ball away. And whenever you have guys that are that talented that are also smart like that, those guys are really special players.
And that's Patrick Mahomes talking about Frank Clark and what it's been like going against him in camp. He's the kind of guy, look, everything that Patrick Mahomes did last year, I'm not sure how much he was challenged in practice. I'm not sure if he, you know, I'm not sure that they had guys who could replicate what New England was going to try to do when they got ready to go play New England. He's going to be going against an elite defensive end and some, you know, some players that I think maybe will challenge him a little bit more in practice. And, you know, there's the old iron sharpens iron type concept that you hear about a lot of times in football. Can that be a real thing that helps even Patrick? You know, he sees what Frank Clark's doing with the defense that helps drive him forward and get even better with the offense.
Yeah, I think Patrick, and I know he mentioned it on Thursday, he's already seen some more I'm going to call them unique coverages. He's seen more variation. So that in terms can help him as well to be able to develop as he needs to and to be able to react quicker and dissect the defense quicker. And that's going to come over time. But he's got a lot of defensive minds over there now in the coaching staff that can challenge him to become even better than what he was last year. And if you forgot, that's reigning MVP.
Yeah, and that includes Brendan Daly, who was part of the defense that had the most success against Patrick Mahomes. And basically shut him down in the first half of the game in New England and the first half of the AFC Championship game. It'd be interesting if we ever get to talk to Brendan Daly, what he thinks about the second half Patrick Mahomes was able to put together against those defenses, because he obviously lit him up. But, yeah, I mean, to your point, I think that this team has a lot more competition just throughout, and we'll see how that plays out. Frank Clark obviously came from Seattle, where they had a great coaching staff led by Pete Carroll. You know, Legion of Boom, which has kind of gone away this offseason. I mean, with the departures they've had up there.
We did a couple years ago.
Yeah, and you know, but I mean, he's still part of that legacy group with some just amazing defense they put together in Seattle. Let's hear what his Frank Clark's impressions of the staff that he has now in Kansas City are like.
Oh man, I feel like they want to win. I mean, when you got coaches that, you know, when your leadership, you know, and your coaching, you know, their mindset is just winning and, you know, competition, getting better. I feel like those are, you know, steps to where you want to become as a franchise and specifically a defense.
I don't know about you, but I'm excited about this season, this team. And this is the most excited I've been in a long time for a Chiefs season, you know, sitting here on Memorial Day weekend. I mean, that's not to say that I wasn't excited for past seasons. That's not to say that, you know, like, I didn't think that they could have some good teams, that I didn't think Alex Smith was capable of making an enjoyable season. But I can't wait for the season to get started because I think that this could be a special, special year.
Well, the first thing that I think is going to be the most important in this regard is that the way these players talk, the way the coaching staff has talked to this point, the way Brett Veach has talked, and some of the things you've seen or heard come out of camp through social media, I think this team is hungry in a way that they haven't been before. I mean, I think players of Chiefs past talked about it, and they're like, well, yeah, we want to get Super Bowl this, Super Bowl that. They said the words, but I don't ever think that they felt it in their soul that they had to reach that destination, that they refused to be denied, and that maybe a couple of those sprints, that's fine if I don't show up for that, or it's fine if I don't show up for that OTA, or don't show up for this or that. And I think there was guys that said the words but would cut the corners when it came down to it. And that's just from watching and observing over the years. And I think now with Patrick Mahomes, and now you're adding Frank Clark to the mix and Tyrann Mathieu and this and members of this coaching staff on the defensive side of the ball, and Eric Bieniemy has been one of the basically, to put it in terms that people listen to the podcast, I think they've added different variations of what Eric Bieniemy has brought to this team in terms of mentality and enthusiasm. And I think that's what I think of each one of those guys. I think each one of those guys is always hungry. They're never satisfied, and they want to dominate every single play and every single week.
So, Nick, let me ask you, if you had to put money on it, and I know you like it when I throw these hypotheticals out about your gambling.
The answer's already no.
which will end up being greater by the end of 2019? The number of touchdown passes Patrick Mahomes throws or the body count from John Wick 3?
Oh, John Wick 3 by a wide margin there. I think you, Therese, and I had quite the time at that movie this past week. I will never look at a library book the same way again.
Yeah. Put the Encyclopedia Britannica away when you're.
I know. I'm gonna. Yeah. I had flashbacks when I saw it, when I walked in my place. I was like, ooh, yeah. There's a weapon that John Wick could be used. There's another one he could have used, and I never looked at him that way before.
There are four screws on that rail, so just be careful.
Okay. I didn't remember seeing that in the movie.
We'll be back on 4th and 1.
We know Kansas City. You can just see the impact.
We hustle. We dig. We bring you the important stories you won't see anywhere else.
Help land a rover on Mars.
Watch us, and you'll see.
41 Action News, clear, complete coverage.
Dangerous.
There has been a confirmation of a tornado.
Unpredictable.
And I know it's pretty scary.
When the most powerful storms fall from the sky.
A very active night.
Trust the One Forecast, certified Kansas City's most accurate.
Golf ball size hail here.
Storm Tracker, in the middle of it all.
Big tornado.
Go into your safe place.
An app at your fingertips 24/7.
And we'll ride through this together.
Gary Lezek and the 41 Action News weather team. Kansas City's most accurate. Kansas City's weather leader. We don't just report the stories. We find the stories. Getting the answers you deserve every day, every night. 41 Action News at 10. Clear, complete coverage. Taylor Hemnes and Lindsay Shively. Weekday morning starting at 4:30.
Gotta go at it. Gotta go at it in practice. I gotta go at his old lineman so he can get on them. And he gotta go at our defense so I can get on them. And I feel like once we get that type of mentality in our locker room, you know, this competition-based feel, I feel like that's when we go in to grow and become the best we can be.
How badly do you want cut-ups of every Mitchell Schwartz versus Frank Clark one-on-one battle that goes on this offseason when the media is not allowed to watch?
I would enjoy watching them, but I'm saying, not.
You absolutely would watch them at least three times. Don't lie.
That's probably true. Thanks, Todd. Thanks for telling people that I don't have a lot of stuff to do in my free time.
I'm just saying. I feel like you and Therese would like totally nerd out over that.
Yeah, no, we'd definitely make a day of it, watch it, you know, eat some food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. No, I just wanted to check, you know. Hey, speaking of which, we talk about Patrick Mahomes. Look, I think it's insane if you think he's going to have 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns again next season. And here's the crazy part. He could throw for 4,500 yards and 40 touchdowns and still be the league MVP, and it could still be a great season. And people still might be disappointed in that.
Man, he took a step back this year.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, I told you he was going to regress. Yeah. He set such an amazingly high bar. I don't know where he goes from here. Because, I mean...
What if he tops it, though?
No, well, if he
I'm
does...
Saying, what if he does?
What if he... Well, then the Chiefs better win a... stink at Super Bowl, because if he does even better in year two and they still can't get there, I don't know what you're gonna do at that point. You just
better get another power running back. No, yeah. I don't know,
except the go back to the R2P2. Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Defense wins championships, Nick. But look, I mean, I think it's easy to forget he's a guy who only had one year in the league. First of all, let's hear from Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Sammy Watkins on what they expect in terms of improvement this year.
Yeah, Patrick with the self-scout stuff, going through all the cut-ups has been great. One thing about him, he's real about himself, and he wants to be great. So you have to be able to do that. You got to be able to look at it in a humble manner and take it all in and correct it. And he's on a mission to do that.
I learned that there's still a ton that I need to improve on. There really is. I made a lot of plays happen kind of off script this year, but there was times where I try to make those plays happen and instead of just taking the easy completion for a first down. And so I have to keep finding that line whenever I want to try to make the big play happen and when I want to just take the easy completion, move the chains, keep the offense on the field, keep rolling down the field. And that's stuff that I have to keep working on every single year, and that scheme of it, I really opened my eyes to that.
Yeah, I think for the most part he's a leader now. I think 3 weeks ago he kind of got on me a little bit, but that's what we need from a guy that lead this team, a guy that's ahead of this team, a leader, and he's going to do all the crazy things on the field, throwing the balls crazy and making the plays that he's going to make. He's going to continue to do that. But I think the most thing is his leadership that he's showing this offseason.
All right, so that was Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, and Sammy Watkins talking about the offseason and the way Patrick Mahomes is approaching it in terms of trying to get better. Do you feel like just the natural progression you'd expect from a quarterback who was making his first, who was a starter for the first season, you expect him to take a jump the next year, right? So do you think that he has more of an advantage because he's now seen it, and he knows what to expect from a season and he knows what he's capable of, and now he can play with even more confidence? Or do you think now that other teams have film on him that they have more of an advantage?
I think right now Patrick is going to have to – this is going to be – for him career-wise, I think this is the season where he essentially has to redefine himself to where he was able to take the league by storm, and the only two teams that really, in my opinion, were able to stunt him and kind of keep him down somewhat was the Denver Broncos, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Patriots in both their matchups. Those are the teams that had really good success against him. So I don't, in some regards, I think Patrick is going to have to, some of those finer points him and Andy were talking about in that bite, I think there's some things in his mechanics that he's going to have to fix a little bit to improve, and there's some things he's going to have to be a little bit more calm in the pocket, because I think a lot of teams are going to put a spy on him this year, and whenever if he goes outside that pocket, they're going to see if he has those same tendencies, and they're going to leave somebody there to go light him up and lay him out if they get that chance. And the Patriots did that a couple times in the AFC Championship game. So that's where, and if you're wondering a game that I'm talking about that you can envision, it was the Titans preseason game when he chucked that ball to Robinson and Patrick took a really big hit. You don't want him to take those hits this year, because then your Super Bowl hopes take a pretty big downer on that one.
You don't think any time is going to get it done?
I appreciate any time and Litton time and all those times, but there's only one Patty Mahomes time, and it's a very impressive show.
Tyreek Hill remains suspended. Don't know how that situation is going to resolve itself. And obviously he's a critical player, but Sammy Watkins is every bit as critical, especially, they're not going to have Kareem Hunt from the start of the season, and you're going to need somebody to step up and to take some pressure off of Kelce and Tyreek Hill anyway. I mean, they need to kind of diversify that offense. Sammy Watkins, is he a guy that you can have confidence in yet, or is durability still just too much of a question about him?
Durability is the thing right now that you hope that he's improved upon, and I had kind of heard whispers during the offseason that was going to be a big priority for him, and part of that staff was trying to work on some dietary stuff and some strength training and some flexibility stuff to be able to help him have one of his better seasons. And from what has come out so far about OTAs, it sounds like there's been noticeable improvement in that department.
I mean, I would think he would want to stay on the field as much as possible to catch passes from Patrick Mahomes. But let's hear from Mahomes, Reid, and Watkins again about Sammy Watkins and how the offseason's gone for him.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, just see how hard he works. You can tell he's slimmed down. He's running really fast. He still has that power that you see on every Sunday. And so for him to be out here working hard, and you see it every single day just stacking on top of each other, you know that he's primed and ready to go out there this season.
He's worked very hard. This offseason, he looks tremendous right now. He's for what you can do here. This isn't, it's not training camp. So, but he sure has worked hard to do what he's doing. He's getting a lot of reps, which is great.
Oh, man, it's been a blessing. They kind of know my body better than I do. And they've been fixing and giving me so many tips and things to do at home and coming to training room and work on before I come out here. And my body's feeling amazing, from my hips to everything that they're correcting. And I think that's been the biggest part of why I can come out here and run around, have fun, and do the things I do best.
I mean, look, that was Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Sammy Watkins talking about Watkins. And look, man, if you can get the Sammy Watkins from Clemson, the guy that was a number three overall pick coming out of college, if that guy finally shows up, in the NFL, or even, 90, 85, 90% of that guy, it'll justify that contract, I think, that the Chiefs have been paying him. I mean, if he can have a monster year, I think that takes so much pressure off everybody else in that offense.
Yeah, it'll take a ton of pressure off them, and also in another regard, people will stop criticizing the contract like you were essentially alluding to. I mean, a lot of people weren't happy about that contract, but I mean, Watkins was insurance that they needed at the time in case Tyreek Hill got hurt, and now they got Mecole Hardman in case something happens. So, I mean, they have multiple insurance, what I would call insurance players, in the event that something were to happen, and it did with the Tyreek situation. So, Watkins, I personally, that's probably one of the guys, if he can stay healthy, I'm really, really curious what can become of him this season, because this is essentially a contract year for him, because the Chiefs can make some decisions after this year. So if he proves to be the leader that he's talking about at the press conferences, and he's able to have a completely healthy year, I mean, there's no reason to not want to keep paying that number.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think if he doesn't want to have to hit the free agent market again, because a good chance. I mean,
this is a big year for him.
There's some other guys that are going to have to get paid on this team, and he may end up being a cap casualty, like we saw some other veteran guys be this year.
Or if he doesn't justify getting a long term restructure down the road here, an extension to where you work something number.
Yeah, if he has a monster year, yeah, absolutely,
for another handful of years.
Especially because I think some money got freed up at that position, because even if Tyreek Hill remains on the Chiefs roster, I think the idea of a 5-year, $100 million contract is gone.
It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, there's some money that became free at that position if Sammy Watkins can prove that he's an indispensable piece of this offense and show that he's got some chemistry with Mahomes. Another guy, though, they're going to have him on the cheap for 4 years, Mecole Hardman. Let's hear what Patrick Mahomes' first impressions of Mecole were.
Yeah, he's a great player. I mean, obviously he's very fast, but he's working on everything, route running, really getting accustomed to the offense. I was very excited. I mean, when you add guys and add depth, I mean, it really is a special thing to know that the staff and everybody like that's going to keep adding and keep adding, never being satisfied with where we're at. We're going to try to keep getting better every single year.
Look, I mean, we've talked about it before. Mecole Hardman Jr., still relatively new, relatively raw, but he's got some gifts. That just, in terms of speed, and in terms of, the ability to.
You meant talent. I thought you meant like some, the gifts that you put on social media that you send on Twitter.
No. Well, yeah, I mean, no, I like those. I don't know. I mean, I don't, we've seen how Georgia wide receivers, can be into like pop culture type stuff. I mean, obviously there was a guy here the last few years who very much into Star Wars. I don't know if you heard about Chris Conley.
Did
a Star Wars movie. I don't know whether Mecole Hardman Jr. was into that kind of stuff, but he, especially when you watch what he can do with the ball in his hands on as a return specialist, he's got some ability, some special ability, some special talent. I think, Patrick Mahomes is a guy who I think looks at that and says, yeah, I can work with that.
Yeah, this is kind of a crucial time for Hardman right now to get a lot of those reps and hopefully be able to work with Mahomes to a certain extent, and to be able to just get comfortable in the scheme and system to where you're hoping the work he puts in now and is able to put in from learning over these next couple months that can help him probably middle of the year become the type of player that people are hoping and envisioning.
And this will be an interesting test, I think, for Patrick Mahomes from the standpoint of we've seen how quarterback like a Tom Brady can elevate the guys around him, like guys who aren't necessarily great, or haven't had great seasons, all of a sudden become serviceable, become stars, you know. And then, you know, sometimes those guys, we see them go on to another team after the Patriots decide not to pay them, and they're a shell of their former self. This will be an interesting test to see how Patrick Mahomes' presence can be in terms of helping develop guys, helping bring guys along, helping make guys better, you know. And he's got some raw clay to mold there in Mecole Hardman Jr. So I look forward to seeing what kind of chemistry they can develop in the offseason, how quickly he can get on the field and make an impact. So we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back. There's a little more news to talk about this week. I don't know if you heard, but stick with us here on 4th and 1.
Cutting the cable cord? 41 Action News is now on Roku. Search KSHB, add our channel, and you're set. All of our newscasts stream live. No other station in Kansas City can say that. Get clear, complete coverage on 41 Action News now on Roku.
41 Action Sports with Mick Schaefer. Clear, complete coverage. Powerful storms fall from the sky. Trust the One Forecast, certified Kansas City's most accurate. And an app at your fingertips 24/7. Gary Lezak and the 41 Action News weather team. Kansas City's weather leader.
And in 2023, Kansas City will host the NFL draft. So congratulations, Clark, and to your organization.
I look forward already to 2023 when Kansas City and our great fans are going to roll out the red carpet for the NFL.
So, Nick, do you who's going to be the first pick in the 2023 draft? Any idea?
I have no idea. None.
All right. Well, I totally put him on the spot there. I really thought he was going to come through, though.
You could ask me the year of, and I still wouldn't. I still wouldn't be sure. Got a little bit of time till then.
It will not be Kyler Murray. That much I know.
Solid point.
You like that? That's why people listen to the show. That kind of analysis.
Yeah. All right. Well, congrats.
No, but are you excited about the draft coming to town? You know, and do you plan on going out there to the NFL experience and being amongst your people for the draft? Or could you care less?
I'm excited for this town to get that exposure and
Absolutely.
That opportunity.
Yeah.
This town deserves it, and just like they deserved the All-Star Game in 2012 and how the city was able to put that together and do a great job with that, and people were impressed with it back then despite how sprawled out it was at the time between where Kauffman and the events downtown.
Everybody forgets the MLS All-Star Game the year before in 2011.
That's because it's the MLS, Todd.
I don't know. I got to meet Thierry Henry. I had a good time with that.
I still don't know who that is. Is he related to any football player?
Well, I mean, in Europe, he is a football player.
Oh, look at you making points. Seriously, like it's going to be so cool whenever the event they have done at Union Station, and just that backdrop of the downtown city and some of the things I can already see in the camera lens that are going to be here. And the fact they get this long to plan is so crucial right now for them to be able to put this event over the top. And hopefully you have the new airport at that point. And it's
scheduled to open in January 2023. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. So I think that this is kind of that next step for the city to become the crown jewel that I think a lot of people envision that are wanting to bring events like this here. And a big congratulations to Kathy Nelson, the Kansas City Sports Commission.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, look, a lot of credit goes to Clark Hunt and the Hunt family status in the NFL. I mean, obviously Lamar was one of the most respected owners in NFL history. Help foster the merger, you know, between the AFL and the NFL. And I think that Clark Hunt has a lot of that same respect from around the league, but we'd be remiss not to mention the work that Kathy Nelson, the Kansas City Sports Commission, did to help make this possible. So let's hear from Kathy and Mark Donovan about what it means that the NFL is going to bring the 2023 draft here.
So leading up to the 2023 draft, we will finalize the exact dates and the final location of the draft stage and fan experiences, knowing that Union Station and the National World War I Museum and Memorial will be our focus for the backdrop. One of the biggest sports events in our city's history will be here in 2023, which is just a short 4 years away. So I am beyond exhausted, but I am beyond excited, and I am beyond proud. Kansas City is the home to the 2023 NFL draft?
We talked about all the years that we were bidding on it. We started in 19. We bid on 20. We looked at 21. We looked at 22. We looked at 23. We talked to the league about what they were thinking and where they were going. And the more we talked to them, the more 23 just sort of, we kept coming around to 23 being the right date for us.
Why was it the right date?
You know, I think the combination of those factors. The league had some things that they were working through with Cleveland, 21 being a little bit better for them with some of the conflicts they had. 23, we were sort of more free than other years in terms of our city. We actually like the idea of having more time to plan for it. We think that's an advantage. As you've seen with the draft in Chicago and Philadelphia and Nashville, it continues to evolve, it continues to change, and we think we'll continue to learn from those and be able to maximize that here in Kansas City.
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, as a lifelong Kansas Cityan like you, I mean, I'm excited for this town. I'm excited for what this means for local fans to be able to experience something like this. And you know, I mean, you know, I don't know. Like, I remember, like, when big events like this happen, they become milestone moments in your life. I mean, I still remember October 27th, 1985. I had just turned seven, and I will never forget what it was like to watch the Royals win that first World Series in my life. And I think that, you know, for kids who are, you know, a year or two old, when they look back at age 30, 40, whatever, they'll look back at the 2023 NFL draft as the time that their fanhood of the Chiefs, of football, of whatever, crystallized. I think it's going to be a fantastic moment for the city. And, you know, I mean, I expect Kansas City will rise to the occasion like we always do.
Well, like I was saying earlier, I mean, Kathy Nelson, the amount of work that she put in to make this happen and the years and years of working to make this happen, because Kathy and I previously worked at my previous employer. Kathy was one of the notable alumni that have come out of that organization, a lot of talented alumni from there. So for Kathy to put in the work that she did and the resiliency that she had, and Dave Borchard, another person who is part of the Kansas City Sports Commission that I worked with as well, he
also spent some time with Sporting Kansas City, things like that.
Yes,
yeah. And I ran across him there. So
yes, I'm really excited for them because of the amount of work that each and every one of those people, the Kansas City Sports Commission, Mark Donovan, the Chiefs organization, everybody involved put into it.
Well, and a lot of people probably may know her name, but so a lot of people also probably don't. But I mean, when you look at the NCAA volleyball tournament and other NCAA, you know, basketball tournaments that have been brought to the Sprint Series, things like that, all those big events that Kansas City's been landed, the Sports Commission's been the one behind it, pushing, pulling the strings, you know, making the presentations, doing the work to make it possible. So shout out to them. That's incredible that they were able to get it done.
And I think it's just one of the many steps for them to showcase this city so that they can have bigger and bigger events than the NFL draft here down the road.
Yeah, no pressure, but 2025 Super Bowl, right? Let's book it.
I think it's going to take a little bit longer than that, but I think this is a step that helps them potentially reach that.
That would be, I mean, I know that
I think this is kind of the first step to start creating some of those things from a hotel, airport accommodation, and trying to build it to where there's everything that you need to have a successful Super Bowl event.
Ultimately, you know that Hunt would love, the Hunt family would love to make that happen. And so
I have no doubt about that. I will never ever question that. I know I guarantee Clark and that family would love to bring that here.
And I don't know. I think they might have enough cachet to get it done, but this is one heck of a jewel.
This is a phenomenal start.
I mean, because this is what, the second biggest event of the NFL calendar. It goes Super Bowl, then draft, right?
Yeah. And Combine is kind of, to me, it's a big event, but it's not.
That's
as
more of
massive.
A media scout center.
It's
right?
Not as massive as what the draft is turning into.
When are they going to start selling tickets, by the way, to Lucas Oil Stadium for the Combine? I feel like that's one of the few like cash opportunities the NFL is missing out on.
I think people will be willing to pay for it at some point.
I would. They will.
I'm crazy like that.
So I hope if they do that, I would like some royalties for coming up with the idea. Thanks.
I wish
thanks,
you the
thanks
best.
Roger.
I wish you the best in that one. Todd, I think it's time to play one of our favorite games.
Or it's Jeopardy?
No.
No.
But you can watch that on
Cornhole.
On 0 for 2.
Okay. Yeah, no, Jeopardy. Watch it afternoon, weekday afternoons on 41 Action News. Yes. Got to get that plug in.
That's right.
Okay. Name that chief.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, ding, ding, ding. Finally nailed it.
I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, I get to go first. Okay.
We flipped a coin and it came up Todd.
Lies. You sit on a throne of lies, Nick. All right, here we go. You ready?
It's actually a folding chair.
Yeah. This three-time All-Pro and six-time Pro Bowl free safety played all 11 of his NFL seasons with the Chiefs.
So not Eric Berry.
Correct. He ranks third in franchise history with 50 career interceptions and is tied for sixth with 14 fumble recoveries. Most importantly, he shares a birthday with me. Not the same year, though. And he worked out at the same Gold's Gym as my mom during the 1987 NFL strike. Name that chief.
That I knew that was the, I knew there was going to be a line there at the end that you were going to put in trivia wise that nobody would ever find on a Wikipedia or a press release or anything. But the safety I'm thinking of is Deron.
That is correct, sir.
No other podcast will you find out that Deron Cherry worked at the same gym as worked out at the same gym as Todd Ballmer's mom
during the 1987 NFL draft.
I hope your
mom
listens to this podcast.
I'll have to make sure she does. But during the 1987 NFL draft or strike, the players, they couldn't work out the facilities, so they had to work out around town. And so my mom got to know Deron Cherry. So good time. All right,
that one I actually enjoyed.
Thank you.
Good job.
I guess that means he hated the other the last couple of weeks.
Well, like, whenever people
wonder why I keep doing this podcast when Nick just runs me down all the time.
Well, when you do math word podcasts where you're like half as many, and my brain just turns off when it's a Pat Mahomes trivia question because he uses math word problems, and I used to just boom. I used to just, it was like a light switch just flickering off. You're just slowly dimming it with each word of the math word problem.
I'm just picturing you like in the middle of the SAT, just like crumpling up the paper and throwing it away right now.
I actually never took the SAT. I only took
ACT,
the ACT.
Whatever.
No, I'm saying I only took the ACT.
Yeah.
I never studied for it either. So I didn't do terrible in the score. I got what I needed to get into college. So I was cool with that. I already knew what I wanted to do with my life. So I went and did it.
Is this it?
It's a big part of it, yeah.
Sitting in a room with me was like, oh boy, I'm sorry.
That is actually.
I'm sorry.
That is what I thought of in homeroom during middle school my entire life.
I'm so sorry.
There's this guy out there named Todd Palmer that I'm gonna do a podcast with someday. He's gonna request that I go get him a lot of Diet Dr. Peppers.
His mom used to work out at Gold's Gym with Deron Cherry.
Deron Cherry. Okay. Okay. You ready for your name that chief?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This former chief played 17 years in the NFL.
Jan Stenerud.
Todd, you've got at least gets four of them. Okay. Oh, man. We do this every week, and you still struggle. I'm surprised you don't just mention Dustin Colquitt as your answer every week. But you already took that, so we can't use that again.
Oh, there's more meat on the Dustin Colquitt bone there.
There may be, but you already used it as a trivia question. All right, next one. He played for the Broncos, Chiefs, Patriots, Dolphins, Packers and Bears.
Oh, well, good lord.
He was a three-time Super Bowl champion, and he played in one of his Super Bowls against current Chiefs head coach Andy Reid. He got his first career start with the Broncos on September 15th, 1991. He played at inside linebacker, and he recorded 9 tackles. But he later became a defensive lineman, especially when he was with the Chiefs. He converted over to defensive line. You want any more?
I don't know. 17 years.
All right. And here's the other thing I'll give you weight-wise. He was 6'3", 250 when he started out at college at the University of Oklahoma. He bounced around to a couple different colleges, and he ended up playing in the league most of his career when he was successful as a nose tackle / defensive tackle. He was on those Marty defenses.
Yeah, but one of the guys I'm thinking of didn't play on the Patriots.
And he ended up when he finished the career, he's like 340 pounds.
Todd, can you name that Chief?
Nah, he did really well in the mid-90s for the Chiefs defense. And you should be able to remember, he played for the Broncos and the Patriots.
Yeah,
before he got his Super Bowls. So he played with Elway, played with Brady.
Yeah, picturing like Sean.
There's only two notable defensive linemen that really played for the Broncos, and that's the reason I use this one, because he actually started in the league as an inside linebacker and became a notable defensive tackle here.
Yeah, but you're also picking out a chunk of time when I was in college, and I may not have a complete memory of those years.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear about your fall.
No, because the guy I'm thinking of didn't play 17 years.
You might be thinking of the right guy.
No, because he didn't play 17 years. There's no way he played 17 years. And like it wasn't like Salimua.
It's not him.
He was too early. He was earlier.
All right, you got a name?
No.
Throw one more out there. Just throw one out there.
I got nothing.
Okay. That's actually not correct. It was Keith Trailer.
I forgot about Tractor Trailer.
Yeah, he won.
Did he start out as a linebacker with the
Broncos? He started out as an inside linebacker, and he was a third-round pick. And then he basically, over time, ballooned himself.
I don't remember him with the Patriots either.
Yeah, he was with them.
With that 08?
It was, no. It was early 2000s. You remember? Because it was Brady's first Super Bowl. Because it was him and Ted Washington. They were the interior defensive tackles.
I thought you said he went. I thought you said he won a Super Bowl against Andy Reid.
Yeah, because the Patriots won a Super Bowl in the early.
It was mid-2000s.
Mid-2000s, same difference.
That wasn't Brady's first, though. Brady's first was against the Rams.
I'm sorry that he won so many that I can't remember which one. But
if I'm being honest, I forgot that he even played for the Chiefs.
I can tell. because the defensive tackles I would have had in my head would have been Joe Phillips, Dan Salimua. And
was it Sean Smith? Not Sean Smith. Was there? Oh God, who was that?
I remember Pellin McDaniels at
no,
one point.
Yeah, no, I'll look it up. We'll talk about it next week. Hey, anything right. else you want to do?
Yeah, we got to check the tweets real quick.
All right, let's do it.
First one. This first one comes from Andrew Sampson. Who is going to be the surprise breakout star and surprise bust this year, and why?
I think Colin Saunders is going to be the. I don't know if he's a surprise. I mean, I think he's one of the most talented guys on the roster. Surprise bust? I don't know. I mean, based on Frank Clark's comments, I think it's going to be Reggie Ragland.
Wow. Right.
I'm not convinced there's a spot on this team for Reggie Ragland. But, I mean, I don't know. We'll see.
Well, that leads us into our next question from Irish Chief 1. Thoughts on Ben Neiman making the roster given the signings at linebacker? Surely he's only impactful in special teams, and that's enough to carry him.
I would say, one, I think for a middle linebacker, if you think he can stick that spot in Spagnuolo's scheme, he's probably got more coverage upside than some of the guys like a Reggie Ragland. Certainly more coverage upside than a guy like a Reggie Ragland. And when you add in his special teams value, I think he's going to be a fringe guy. I mean, I think he's got to fight for that spot. But they liked what they saw last year. He got hurt. It could be a Keith Reeser situation where even though they like him, they let him go. But I mean, I think when the dust settles, you've got to have some special teams guys, and Neiman has a chance to be on that.
And our final chance tweets question comes from Vader Nick.
Is this like your burner?
No. Yes.
I mean, sometimes I would
make it that obvious.
Sometimes you do try to like crush my throat, you know, like with mind games. So
if you were listening right now, especially HR, I would never do that.
If you're trying to
how come every week I have to use a disclaimer to HR because Todd said something where he tries to make me sound like a terrible person?
You see what I deal with, Scott.
Really? Who was the one who was the one cheering at the nonstop at the John Wick movie, huh? Who was that?
That's cheering?
Yeah. It was Therese laughing a lot.
Yeah.
Therese, man. I thought it was a comedy with the way Therese was laughing. That was great. No, Halle Berry. She did a great job in that movie. So did her dogs, the Belgian Malinois.
Yes. Yeah. They did.
Dynamite job. All right, fine. I'll check the tweet. Who would each of you like to see at left guard that is on the current roster?
Probably Mecole Hardman Jr.
At left guard?
Yeah, I think he would. I like his speed there. Get out in front. You know, he'd be a great pulling guard.
Okay.
No, if I can't say Anthony Sherman or Dustin Colquitt, I would probably say, look, I loved what I saw from Andrew Wiley last year. Mm-hmm. I know that you gave an extension to Cam Irving, but I also think Look, if Wiley's a better player, and I think there's a chance that, you know, he is, then Cam Irving becomes your fill-in anywhere. He literally could play Cameron Irving as your swing tackle, as a backup guard, because we've seen him start there, and your backup center. I mean, he could be very valuable as a six offensive lineman that you put anywhere. And if you want to go into jumbo, you could, you know, line him up tight, or you could put him at fullback. He's got the athleticism and the ability to move in space. I think that I'd be fine with that if Andrew Wiley ended up taking over the starting left guard job, and then Cameron Irving was the all-purpose backup.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. Wiley's the guy. I think he brings that attitude that you want in a guard spot, and I hope to see him start, whether a guard spot it is. I don't care. I just want to see him on the field.
Mark that down. We started this podcast in what, late July last year, and here it is late May. It only took 10 months for Nick to agree with me on something.
We could go back, and I'm sure we'll find another thing or two that I agreed on. Although, I do remember somebody having a brakes on the Patrick Mahomes train. Choo-choo.
Well, I didn't cut them, if that's what you mean.
I did.
Yeah, no, I know. So.
Well, right. Todd, it's been a pleasure.
Hey.
You know, I hope we can do this again next week.
I'll be here. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
I hope you'll be here too, Mr. Listener.
Or Mrs. Listener.
Or Mrs. Listener. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I apologize. I kind of assume that it's only, it's mostly dudes listening to us.
And I hope all the women out there listening to this podcast make sure to send Todd a tweet to let him know that
they
listen. There you
go. There you go. Of course, yeah, I mean, most people, it's mostly bots, Russian bots that follow me. So who knows?
That's like all 8,000 of your followers. It's just the bots.
It's just like three people who knew me from college, some random Mizzou and Sporting fans left over, and then bots.
But I do know a certain content coordinator that doesn't follow you on Twitter.
That's right. Thanks a lot, Angie. Thanks for nothing.
It's all right, Todd.
Someday. Angie Horner. Thanks a lot.
Someday, Todd. Someday she'll follow you. It'll be all right.
She follows Nick Starling now and not me. I'm hurt.
Well, maybe you should have the same birthday as Nick.
That's right. She probably didn't even know what my birthday is.
Well, then maybe you should lie about it so
I don't,
it happens.
I don't know what her birthday is either. Maybe we do have the same birthday. Her, me, and Daron Cherry and Nick.
I think people have turned off the podcast at this point.
If not, they should have. Say goodbye, Nick.
Bye, Todd.